Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, Culture, Chapter 1, Culture is Behavior. The questions that this cast answers are, what is culture? How can I create the culture I want? And how do I reinforce culture?
Hey folks, communicating is something we all do every day. By improving our communication, we can improve our effectiveness. And many of us don't realize how much our communication style helps us on a day-to-day basis, and in many cases, hurts us on a day-to-day basis. We've got on our website available for purchase of a 2-year license access to the Effective Communicator video course. It allows for you to watch small videos, complete assessments or tests, have some written documentation so that you can learn as you go.
We get involved in a lot of conversations about culture.
Mm-hmm.
It almost is starting to feel a little buzzwordy for me, where people are constantly using the word culture and perhaps not really hitting on the heart of the topic.
Yeah.
And just always, it's like culture, culture, culture. Since we're so focused on behaviors, we want to talk about how to create a culture, because it can be done. How do you create a culture? How do you sustain it? What can managers and leaders in organizations do to improve culture? Unfortunately, what you hear out there, the conversations and the guidance are wrong. And the conversations are kind of—
No surprise there.
Mushy and not very helpful. You know, the words people use around culture are sometimes just not very—
Unclear.
Understandable. Very unclear. Yeah, accurate. They're not very accurate. And so we're going to talk today about how we can create a culture and how we can sustain it so that we can dispel the myth that culture is something that can't be created or that it would be something that's impossible to obtain.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Our outline for today's cast is quite short. We're going to talk about two main topics. First off, we're going to discuss the fact that culture is behavior. And then we're going to talk about culture can't be created first. That is, we can't create culture before the behavior. So, the very first part, culture is behavior. We start with the fundamental principle missing from, to Kate's point earlier, all of the culture guidance we've ever experienced, in that culture is nothing more than the sum total of all of the behaviors of all of your organization. That's it. Culture
is people's behaviors.
What the people do, how the people act, how the people behave. How the people behave is your culture.
Yeah. What do people in the organization deem acceptable behavior? And therefore,
exactly,
if they're engaging in this acceptable behaviors, we have a culture of these specific behaviors being acceptable.
Exactly.
Yay.
Hey, exactly. So from a human history point of view, culture actually predates what we think of as society. That is, society requires conscious choices. But those choices are based on the millions of already existing behaviors that we as individuals learn in our interactions with others. Now, society requires the verbal and written codification of those behaviors. But again, the behaviors existed before the society existed.
Right. There, you know, people behave a certain way, other people respond to it. And if it's deemed appropriate, the response is positive. It's deemed inappropriate, the response is negative, and people tend to, most of the time, assimilate, right? They adapt, they learn what is rewarded, and that creates those behaviors. And that's cultural behavior distinguished from societal needs around behavior.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So in turn, the culture of a country or a company or whatever the group of people is in question here is a collection of the unwritten behavioral norms worked out over time through the adaptations of its members, through, essentially, trial and error. Culture is simply the way we do things here.
It's So funny. I think we've talked about this before, and we've got to stop saying that because we talk about it we've talked
all the
about
time
before. Although I don't know that I've given this example, which I love. There are some, Nordic countries mm-hmm. where in offices, when in business culture, in meetings, it's not appropriate to interrupt the person who's speaking, period. And so sometimes you end up in these soliloquy situations in meetings. I always think of filibuster situations where people are talking, one person is talking, no one can interrupt because the culture deems it inappropriate. And I actually heard this example, it's not an anecdote as much, but this example, societal example, from somebody who had worked in a country, even though they were an American, that had this kind of cultural behavioral norm in business. And they used it as an example of, it's not the norm for people, individuals. There are still people who are prone to interruption, and they have accepted that this is part of the business culture in this environment. And so they don't interrupt in these environments, these situations, which is so interesting to me. Also sounds a bit like not something I would love. I was going to say a lot of things that were much more negative than the sentence mm-hmm. I chose.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing though, right? We adapt for the situation that we're in at any given period in time. I mean,
most of us, hopefully.
Yes, exactly. Most of us, hopefully. An example, that one that's not work-related, but is really simple, is most people, when around small children, don't use as many curse words. And
that's a great example.
They might be prone to curse words, but somehow their brain automagically, when they're around children, says much cleaner language. We don't realize how adaptable our behaviors are given the situation and given its expectations of and around our behavior, but we're actually quite good at changing, tailoring, adapting, mm-hmm. given what the situation calls for and what the best course of action is given the situation.
And when we're thinking about business environments, when we're thinking about the culture of your organization, it is important to keep in mind that different businesses, even different branches of, organizations have different cultures. Some are more outgoing or more talkative, some are less. And it might be that a person is in a place where it's not part of their normal patterns. And so it's a little harder. And it is something that we often adapt to.
Yeah.
And those differences, those slight kind of differences, I guess some of them are big. Those are something we should be aware of, because what the members or employees of your organization do is what the culture of your organization is.
Yeah.
If your organization says it cares about employees, but then lays them off via email, you know who you are. Caring about employees is not in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
To say nothing of, laying off 10,000 employees in a week and then announcing a multi-billion-dollar stock buyback the next week. You know who you are.
Yeah.
And then somebody might say, well, they do care and they have to take, tough decisions about the future of the company and profitability, yada, yada, yada. Caring, though, is not behavior. It is true that organizations have to make tough decisions about the future of the organization, profitability. However, showing care comes from behavior. Caring is not a behavior. So espousing the value of performance is laudable. We love it. And that does not create culture of companies.
Yes.
And that's not the culture if performance reviews are sloppily administered, delivered poorly, all kinds of examples of not demonstrating care through behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Again, behavior is believable.
Mm-hmm. Put your money where your mouth is, right?
Yeah.
People that do what they say they're going to do are believed. It's kind of that same concept. You can say all the kind and fun and great words you want, but if your behaviors don't support the words you say, eventually people stop believing the words that you say. And so for our organizations, even when things like performance reviews, while being an organizational behavior. They are not effective in terms of the more in the moment performance communications that are required. Performance is something that happens every day, not once a year. Performance reviews are needed, but they don't serve as that day-to-day conversation about how to correct one's behavior. A performance culture requires performance feedback to its employees.
Right. If you say, oh gosh, here, importance is really valuable. It's important.
Mm-hmm.
Or performance is really valuable and important. But then you do these other performance reviews only, or you do them poorly, or you don't give feedback, to your point, then you're not demonstrating that.
Exactly. That's the thing. If you don't get performance feedback regularly, I mean, at the very least weekly, then you, as part of your organization, are not living in a performance culture. Doesn't matter what we call it, but it's not a performance culture if you're not hearing about how you're doing at least once a month. And yeah, it could still be true that performance is a value that your organization holds. But again, values aren't culture. Behavior is culture. And therefore, employees not getting performance feedback means that you're not in a performance culture.
Right. Behavior is culture. Caring is not a behavior. Not giving performance doesn't demonstrate through behavior that that's part of your culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to behave in a certain way. And it could be a value. Caring could be a value. Performance could be a value.
Mm-hmm. Things you care about are different then.
Right.
Culture.
So those are your values. Are you demonstrating them in your culture? Perhaps no. Those are two separate things if you're not behaving in certain ways. Another one, which we are up against all the time, not internally, externally,
mm-hmm.
is everyone being late. If you are in an environment where everyone is routinely late to meetings, hey, guess what? Your culture is that of lateness. If there's a birthday party every month for the, you know, it's April birthdays, and so everybody's birthday party is on whatever day, then that's a birthday party culture.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe deadlines get missed and nobody says anything about it. Then you have a culture of missed deadlines.
Yeah.
And you could also end up in an environment where projects don't get delivered on time, within budget, within scope, then you don't have a project delivery culture. You have a project problem culture.
Project problem culture.
Problem
projects
project?
That don't get done on time or poorly culture.
Right.
And it's not a good look. It's not a good look. So you can see that all of, or in many cases, our behaviors fall far beneath what the organization wants. That is, we're articulating values that we are behaving differently than we espouse. That is, the creation of values, or this is why the creation of values, even with some effort to communicate them, is great, but doesn't create a culture. Creating values is great. That's step one. Knowing what we want to see, what kind of organization we want to have, awesome. Love that. Step number one, achieved. But it's not enough. It's not far enough. We have to go further than simply coming up with values, sharing them, but then not supporting them in terms of our behaviors.
I was imagining this part of it, this first step, as the same kind of thing as, and Andrew would love this, hanging a live, laugh, love sign in your kitchen.
Oh my gosh. Okay, take it further. I don't get it yet.
So you've written down the values.
Uh-huh.
Like you've said, these are the things we care about. And so you've put, imagine it's like putting them on a wooden sign and hanging it in your kitchen.
I'm right
like,
there with you.
Mm-hmm. This house, live, laugh, love. If though,
mm-hmm.
that's not what's happening. And instead it's
yelling at each other.
Where is the clean soccer jersey? And that's not what Andrew's house is like. It's simply that Andrew, we've always joked that Andrew maybe would have a live, laugh, love sign in his house because he's such
a
warm, happy person and his family's delightful. So I don't think there's a lot of yelling in Andrew's house, but there's probably maybe if he had a live, laugh, love sign, he probably took it down.
Probably.
And that's what it's like to write down your values and say, hey, you know, we've written this down and okay. And the thing is, as always, culture and behavior really is part of the purview of the manager.
Absolutely.
So there's this classic example of behavior is cultural and it's irrespective of the stated values. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it's like to work for a bad or unscrupulous manager, where the values are here and we say, these are them. And then the manager does other things.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be those managers, obviously.
Absolutely not.
Any individual manager in an organization can incentivize the culture that they want or that supports those values that the organization is hoping to create and support. It is hard work.
Yeah.
That whole it's lonely at the top thing and it, you know.
Welcome to they.
Well, ugh, or if you thought being a manager, you know, I remember becoming a manager and looking around and thinking, I thought there'd be cake. There's not. It's hard work to be a manager. And it's usually this particular piece of it is unsupported by the organization. A lot of organizations don't focus at this level. It's completely benign neglect. They hope to create the value system and then people will behave accordingly. So in order to do that, in order to support that, the manager tools manager insists on the behaviors that he or she believes in. And those resultant behaviors, all totaled, are the culture in that manager's part of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So please, y'all, know, believe in, support the values of your organization.
Yeah.
Let's not denounce them. If you don't believe in the values of your organization, perhaps it's not the right organization
perhaps
for you.
Perhaps get a new organization. Yeah, sounds right.
And if there's something you struggle with, okay, let's keep that to ourselves. And again, that's a welcome to they situation. But let's, at the behavioral level, support the values and create behaviors that withhold those tenants, those pillars, if you will. Mm-hmm. Where was I somewhere? And they called them the pillars. I don't remember.
I like that. Cornerstones, pillars, they're foundation, right? Managers are essentially the guardians of the organizational culture because it's managers, the individual managers, that can see and hear and act in turn upon the individual behaviors that make up the culture of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
The organization can't do the behaviors required. The individual managers are the ones responsible for upholding these values, really. So because we're manager tools, we are here obligated to help you to do this. That is, uphold the values of your organization, help you understand how to do so. And it's as simple as setting a professional behavioral example, developing a trusting relationship with your directs so that your example will then be emulated, and then communicating through feedback about what behaviors you support and what behaviors you don't in order to support the organization.
You know who does this really, really well is one of our clients, Mortgage Center. They're so focused on culture, and they are focused on culture at the managerial level. They talk all the time about behaviors and how that supports like their value system.
Yep.
It's fantastic. They do such a great job of translating it for individual managers at the organizational level to say, we have this value and here's how we would behave to support it. It's so clear and helpful.
Yeah.
There's just no
and
guessing.
Helpful.
It's so helpful. There's so little guessing about here's how you should act because they link those two things. Hey, everyone. I'm wondering if the weather where you are isn't great, and if you'd like to come and join us in LA instead. We'll be in Los Angeles on February 28th and March 1st with a public conference, an effective manager event on the 28th, and an effective communicator event on March 1st. And we'd love to have you out. Register online at manager-tools.com/training. This brings us to the idea of chicken or egg. Culture and creation of culture, and the fact that culture cannot be created first. So many organizations, and this goes back to those conversations that we have with people, they mistakenly believe that you can create culture.
Right.
And what they mean is that they think they can just say what kind of values the organization will stand for, and then, you know, it will snowball throughout the organization. And that's not accurate. What those organizations are mistakenly trying to do is to create society without acknowledging that the force and the foundation, really, of society is the culture of behaviors. Again, this isn't to say that organizations shouldn't proclaim their values. They right, should.
They should.
And they shouldn't confuse those values with their culture. And again, this is like, I'm thinking of, you know, Mortgage Center. They say this is the value and this is the behavior that supports it. Because
love that.
Culture, yes, it's, those guys are so great. Culture happens behaviorally. Rather than it's being created, it doesn't just come into being because of inspiration or guidance or live, laugh, love signs of any individual or
wish
group.
And hope.
It happens naturally between members. It culture happens.
Yeah. It's not built. It occurs.
Right. And it happens rather than being created because of adaptations of effective behaviors. You know, somebody sees somebody on the team do something that works better than what they were doing before. Yeah. So then they adapt into that new way of doing it or the other person's way. And over time, the culture becomes these predominant behaviors that we've seen be effective.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And folks, of course, one can easily see where this imitation of many behaviors creates a culture different than one that the organization's stated values might encourage, right? To Kate's point, I see you do it better than we were told to do by the organization. So I do it Kate's way instead of organization's way. And because this snowball, because these kinds of things can happen that take the individual away from or doing something that isn't stated in the organization's values, managers failing to give feedback, reporting in a way that hides the true nature of a project, for example, not enforcing timeliness, those types of activities cause issues as they pertain to the true organization's values versus the culture of the organization. That is, as managers, we need to be communicating, reinforcing the organization's guidance and plans, as opposed to not making comment or not reinforcing those values and allowing people to build a culture that isn't in line with that of our organization. So for things like if we're trying to hire and people are hiring in an ineffective way or in an inefficient way, and our organization really values its hiring process, it's okay, let's enforce the hiring process. We need to make sure people are doing it. We need to spot check. We need to give feedback. We need to ensure they're following protocol, not just doing it their own way and getting off target.
Mm-hmm.
And most organizations simply define their values, often in a series of meetings that amateurs consider important and fun, right? I get to have a voice
it's
in
like, so the, pretty words.
And it's pretty. It's fun. Let's strategize. Let's talk big picture. And sure, it's cool. It's fun. But to make those actual values have any influence on the culture of the organizations, organizations have to do some exceptionally hard work. And almost none of them do is the problem. It takes more than the CEO meeting with every new employee group, though this is admirable. We love it. But it takes more than group discussions, group decisions to promulgate these ideas into one's organization. You can't just have a meeting and a town hall and tell people the new vision and then that'd be the last time they hear about it. It doesn't work like that.
Right, because they go to these meetings, but it doesn't affect their day-to-day necessarily.
It's super especially, exciting.
Yeah. Well, especially if there's like a lot of embedded kind of habits and patterns.
Oh, absolutely.
Of behavior
habits and patterns.
That are different from the value system, or people have been doing it this way for a certain amount of time. And so hearing this once a year.
Yeah.
When you have to be thinking about cultural influence on behaviors or behaviors every single day.
Yeah.
I mean, this is daily stuff to create a specific culture. And these welcome to the business kind of meetings, they can set the tone.
Yeah.
They are unlikely then on a daily basis to influence how people decide to proceed, how they behave, all these things. Like, it's also individual behavior that does it. So a group discussion, while efficient, perhaps might not be effective.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Some places they have like senior leaders, they, you know, talking about the culture they want or the value system. And they're even leading discussions with real examples or case studies or in a class asking their team members, well, what would you do? That's a great effort. That's awesome. It would be even better to follow up and reward people who honor the values with their behaviors and examples and all that stuff. It's pretty rare.
Yeah.
I think that's really rare. And one of the things too that I've done in the past, and I'm sure Sarah, you have too, is to talk to organizations when we prepare to like go in and train people, talk to them about what are your core values. And during the sessions where we're teaching people, talk to them about, hey, one-on-ones support our core values because of this, and feedback supports our core value because of this, and coaching this. And so we're kind of like, it's easy because there's four, right? Then it's like, oh, here's the four cornerstones thing. If you can link those specific behaviors that you find valuable to the cornerstones or the value system, that's fantastic, especially if it's weekly stuff or daily stuff like feedback. And this also then, if we're going to really work on supporting this, includes communicating pretty candidly, and sometimes it can be uncomfortable, to those people who don't honor the value system, to say, hey, you know, this thing that you did, it's not really supporting our value system, because our value system is this, and this behavior violates it in X way or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
One way to think of kind of these efforts, it might be helpful, is to ask yourself, or not you, Sarah, but the people listening, does this discussion that we're having about values and culture tell me clearly how we do things here? And also, how do we not do things here?
Because
These kind of statements are rare. And they're a sign of an organization trying to support managers in that crucial role of bringing the values to life through behavioral culture.
Yeah. It sounds like a lot of work, I think, when you say it, Kate, but it takes every person in the organization and, let's face it, managers. If you don't remind them to, they're not going to do it. It takes every person in the organization remembering and holding in their mind those values as they go through every activity they go through during a day. It's that constant, to your point, identifying things and tying them back to, okay, that supports our culture in this way. That supports our values in this way. That is a really good example of where our values are supported because X. It's constantly keeping in our minds and inserting in our dialogue or tying our dialogue back to the values which we hold true as an organization. If you don't talk about them, they're gonna be forgotten. And while culture can't be created first, it can be, and it is, reinforced by the organization's leaders, by the organization's managers. It's all in how they incentivize, how they de-incentivize, how they pay attention to and talk about whether they reward or they do not reward certain behaviors that are required. But as managers, as leaders, it's our role to ensure that we're constantly talking about these things. We're constantly keeping these things top of mind for the folks in the organization.
Culture is not on the website.
No.
Values
are on the website, though.
Yeah, our mission statements. I see a lot of those.
I love it.
Culture is not on the website. This is a really common misconception. Virtually all companies list their values, sometimes calling it culture, misnomer, in their public and internal communications. This, though, only sets the stage for managers to set behavioral examples, which are the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't, and I don't think it has to be a long list. I think four or five things.
The fewer the better, I'd suggest. The simpler,
the better. Hopefully your company doesn't have a ton of things in their value statement. And you're right, focusing on, you know, these are the things we're going to do. Also, I would suggest in organizations where I've seen it done well, you start with three this year and that becomes the norm. And then you can build. It doesn't have to be that we're doing all 10 right now. We could do a few now and get that in place. Although, always bear in mind, y'all, change happens more slowly than you want it to when there's groups, when it's a group effort.
Yeah.
Managers, though, this is within our purview. It's part of our responsibility to monitor behaviors and communicate about them. And we can do that with an eye towards culture and towards our value system in order to support our organizations. Goals around these things. Yeah, so
Exactly. Yeah. So to wrap it all up, values are not culture. Behavior is culture. And behaviors happen at the micro, not the macro level of our organization. We as managers ensure the culture through our examples and through our communications to the people on our team. Regardless of the organization's stated values, managers as individuals play the greatest role in the maintenance of our organization's culture. If you worry about your organization's culture, make sure that your own team or your department's culture is worthy of being an example that people want to follow.
Awesome. Thanks, Sarah.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks, y'all. We'll be back next week with a new topic.